please, please, thank you. If everyone will please turn in your Bibles to, oh, wait a minute, I'm not speaking. I forgot. I've always wanted to say that, so it's nice. I'm going to tell y'all a little secret since Brother Williford's not here. How many promises not to tell him? Okay, if anybody tells him, I'll know it was you. And, you know, Brother Williford is the most kind, caring, considerate, spiritual. I mean, he's just got it. You know, he's a wonderful pastor. And so I was praying, and I said, Lord, I want to be more like Brother Williford. Would you make me more like Brother Williford? I meant the kind, caring, considerate. And I started losing my hair and turning gray. So I changed it, and I said, Lord, make me more like Amber Williford. So now it's turning dark, and it's getting thicker. So, thank you. I am supposed to read some sayings that different ones have written about their mother. What is some good advice you received from your mother? And if you're here and your mother's here, would you stand so everyone will know who you are? And this one is Emily Spa. I think she's here. She wrote, my mother has passed down many words of wisdom to me throughout my life. Perhaps the one that sticks with me the most is you have to look at the big picture. Every decision we make has a consequence in the big picture of our lives. There are good consequences and bad consequences. It is so easy to do what feels right or most comfortable in the moment and ignore the big picture. She has always reminded me that if God has promised something, He will do it. But I have to look at the big picture and I have to be willing to do what He asks of me. Thank you, Mom, for always being real, for always being an example of wisdom in both your words and actions. Sister Emily Spa. And then Donna Schroeder. She's not here either. My mother taught me if we are having company, always fix plenty of food so we don't run out. I like that one. Crystal Ray. One of the best things my mom has taught me is that you cannot control every situation and to just pray about it and trust that God will always work things out. Good one. Sarah Dennis. Get Jesus in your heart, in other words, a deep relationship, not just surface level, because it will not last. Also remember that you are not just representing yourself, you're representing your family, your church, and most importantly, God. She would say that to me, before I went out with friends or on a youth trip or a youth function, I thought about it often, and I still do, and it definitely worked as a safeguard for my actions. And Sister Williford wrote some good advice she got from her mother. If you're going to do anything, do it right, because if you do it right the first time, you don't have to do it over. And she taught me to pray, Lord, keep me, even if I get to the place where I don't want to be kept. And this one is from a bunch of Wright girls, Hannah, Leah, and Mary Beth. Be faithful to God no matter what your season, and He will be faithful to you. Commitment will always outweigh love. Love is an emotion. You may not always feel love for something or someone, but your commitment will keep you grounded in what is important. So stay true to your commitment. Always put your family first. They may not always appreciate it, but it will never be the wrong decision. One day you will understand. Just trust me. And the last one, which this was is really a good one. One of my personal favorites. I'm not sure which one wrote this. Probably Mary Beth. One of my personal favorites. Don't kiss boys because you'll get kibbles. She told us that for years and years. We don't even know what kibbles are, but apparently she does. And Nichelle Casmus. Some things my mom always says is whenever us kids are going through something or we had a bad day, she always says we need to pray. That's literally her advice for everything. Also, staying faithful in prayer through adversity is a big one for her. But really, Mom has always been the kind of person to lead by example. She gives advice through her actions. Through her actions, she would teach us things like giving, and she loves to give to everyone, praying, and the big one is faithfulness, being faithful to our personal spouses and making sure to take care of them in the best way possible. And this one is from Mary Brewer. She said her mother taught them that we might be poor, but we can be clean. Good one. And you can rest assured that our ears, neck, and face were always scrubbed to the max. Another thing she always said was to keep trying and that I could do it no matter what it was. And she said, don't sing at the table or the devil will dance on your head. And then Sister Melody Reaver wrote, always be kind to and smile at people you meet in public. A smile can open doors for you to listen to and encourage others. So those were all good, but I'm going to add a few of my own. These, you know, maybe my mother told me, or I heard somebody's mother tell them or something. I'm not saying I ever said these, but just in case. One thing is, nothing is really lost until your mother can't find it. True. And when your mom says, I want you to have all the things in life that I never had, beware, she's planning on moving in with you. When your mother asks, do you want for a piece of advice, don't worry, you're getting it whether you want it or not. And then something I know my mother said always was, don't run with scissors in your hand. You'll poke your eye out. You know, you always, and so I never did, but I did see a man with a patch one time and I thought he didn't listen to his mother. There is no way to be a perfect mother, but there's a million ways to be a good one. And, you know, it's not easy being a mother. If it were, fathers would do it. And hope this doesn't offend anybody, but my mother always told me, make sure you have on clean underwear because you never know when you might be in a wreck. Who would care? But anyway, we did what Mom said. And learn to laugh at yourself. And a lot of times Mom would say, I would be crying, or, you know, she had eight kids, so someone was crying all the time. And she'd say, do you want me to give you something to cry about? Well, no, I already have something to cry about. Hello. And another one was, be sure and wash behind your ears. I'm kind of like Sister Brewer. Have you ever checked behind anybody's ears to see if they washed? I don't see why that would really be that important. But anyway, be sure and wash behind your ears. And another one was, love is blind. And I'm thinking, okay, so do we have to go blind to be in love? Or do we have to marry a blind person? But I never did get it, but I kind of do now. And the early bird gets the worm. I don't like worms, so that was never one of my priorities, is try to get there early, because I really didn't care for worms. But thank you.
Thank you, Sister Kay Hamby. We love her, one of a kind, and we love her very much. One mom said, every time I say no, my kids hear, ask again, she didn't understand. One mom said, the hardest part of parenting is trying to be fake mad when your child does something bad but hilarious. You been there? My kids wanted to know what it's like to be a mom, so I woke them up in the night to tell them my sock fell off. When 3-year-old Jack was asked why he was running around naked, he replied, I'm not naked. I have on socks. Mothers and their kids, there's a special bond there. We have 3 speakers that are going to speak to us this morning. Sister Donna Black, she's a mother and a grandmother. and a great-grandmother. Yes, right back there. She and Sister Hudson share this precious little boy. And Kendall is a beautiful young lady. Kendall Lindsay is going to speak to us, a beautiful young lady that we're so proud of and so thankful to have as a member of APC. And between those two ladies speaking, we're going to have a song by our sign ministry. So they will slip up here between the two speakers. I won't be introducing that, so they will sing their song. And then to wrap up in speaking will be Nathan Reaver. He's not a mother. He's not a grandmother. He's an all-around pretty good guy, and I kind of love him a little bit. So those are our speakers today. Will you help me welcome Donna Black? Said she's kind of nervous. I understand. I think everybody else does too.
You got to hold this and speak into that.
Okay. I'm kind of nervous because I usually sit at the computer and do this. And for some unknown reason, the computer wouldn't do anything. And so I pulled out the old notebook. So this is hot off the press, okay? I'm supposed to be speaking about a mother's wisdom. The word wisdom in the Hebrew Bible is mentioned 222 times. So it must be pretty important. It was in the book of Proverbs, it's written 46 times. I never realized this. When they gave me this title, Mother's Wisdom, first thing I said was, I don't have any of that. I don't ever remember having a whole lot of wisdom. And I was a young mother of 18. And I was washing dishes, putting diapers on kids, running around the house. Taking care of your husband. It was crazy. How did they ever come out halfway decent? I don't know. And so I thought, wisdom. Well, who do I know who has wisdom? Well, I thought of a few preachers. Thought of a few mothers here. But I couldn't remember anything about wisdom that I had ever done. And I thought, okay, so I'm telling this to my son. He says, Mom, do you remember one time I was at a party and someone called and said that I had to spend the night because my windshield had been broken? And I said, give the phone to me and give me my son. He gets on the phone. Now, Mom, I'm going to have to stay at this party. I'm going to have to stay all night here. And the window's busted out. And I said, you get yourself into that car. You tape up that window however you've got to tape it and get home. Well, why, Mom? Well, I don't have a reason why. I have a feeling. Maybe that's wisdom. But I've had a lot of feelings raising up these kids. And I'm so happy that I have them here today. And I'm grateful for my family. There's a lot of times when you go through life and you think, whoo. What am I going to do? My husband worked a lot. He was out of town a lot. So therefore, I was left with a lot of decisions. Sometimes I made them good, and sometimes I made them bad. But all you can do is try. Sometimes you get nervous like I am now. And you can say, Well, I did the best I knew how. I was 18. Kids don't come with an instruction manual. I wish they did. But your greatest instruction manual is the Bible. You can always go to the Word and read the Word. Many times I've done that. In fact, when they gave me this speech, I went to the Bible. I thought, well, I don't know much about wisdom because I don't have much of it. So let's go to the Bible. And that's what I did. And the thing that impressed me was the King Solomon. He was known to have so much wisdom, just unbelievable wisdom. He was given wisdom when he asked God for wisdom. He gave him wisdom. He gave him honor. He gave him wealth. He gave him riches. But, wow, he was wise. And as I was reading about Solomon, I came across a circumstance where he had to counsel two women. They were harlots, and they had come to him. And they said, one woman said, I and this woman dwell in the same house, and I delivered a baby. And after the third day, after the lady had delivered, the other lady delivered a baby. So there was two babies in the house and two harlots. Then the one lady said, her baby died because she overlaid him. She said, that lady died. The baby died. And when her baby died, she switched babies. Whoa. I don't think that was wisdom. Anyway, when they switched the babies, it got into a big hot argument when they woke up and realized I've got the wrong kid and this kid is dead. And the other lady said, you've got this enough. And they argued and they went to King Solomon for him to answer all their questions and to figure this out. And what did King Solomon do? He sent for a sword and he said, okay, we're going to solve this problem. We're going to cut this baby in half and give you half. And you have. And of course, the real mother spoke up and said, no, don't do this. Give the live baby to her. Because she was a mother. And she had it in her heart. Mothers have a special bond with children. Doesn't matter if they're one day old or 50. But they have a bond. And Solomon knew then, hey, that's the real mother. She's willing to give her that baby up so that that baby can live, even though she would probably have not been part of her life. Wow. Everybody talks about Solomon's wisdom. But to me, what stood out in this was the mother had such wisdom. Now, was that a thing that just came to her as he spoke? Or was that a God thing that said, do that? Because when he heard that, he knew she was the real mother and gave her the child to raise. And so, to me, the lady don't have a name in the Bible. It's just two harlots. They don't have any wealth. They don't have any riches, I don't think. No education, probably. So wisdom is not based on what you have. It's what God gives you sometimes. And so that just impressed me so much. I have a real respect for the harlot that made that decision. And so in life, we have to make a lot of hard decisions, difficult decisions. And they're not always easy. And mothers are not perfect. If they were, we'd none of us be here. We'd be some crown on our head or something. But in the Bible, there's also a place that talks about a virtuous woman. And it's just amazing to me the things that a virtuous woman has to do. If you've ever read it in the Bible, wow. I would have to hire a maid to help me if I was going to be that virtuous. I would have to get a housekeeper, a cook, somebody to sleep for me, six hands to do all the work. My goodness, have you ever read that in the Bible? It's just amazing how much a virtuous woman comes through with. I can't do it. I'm not perfect, but I can try. So I will say that this year has been a year of, well, maybe wisdom, maybe some not. But my mother fell and broke her hip. 94 years old. They came into the emergency room and they said she's got a 10 to 15% chance of living. You know she's 94. But we prayed. And honestly, when we prayed, it was just a few minutes, things started to turn. And we brought her home Saturday. And she's doing very well. And then the joyous part of this year is I have a baby that made me great. I always wanted to be great. But I can't imagine looking at that baby and thinking of how Solomon said, cut the baby in half. How could you ever do that to that little baby? I mean, if you have time, you should go see him. He's the best thing that ever happened. I might be a bit partial, but I do think he's cute. Anyway, God has been so good to us this year. And I had a stroke over a year ago, and I've gone away from my notes, so let's just talk, okay? So anyway, I was at the hospital, and I had a stroke, and they gave me the bad news that you're paralyzed on the right side. You know, you're going to really have to work hard to come back. Okay, just what I wanted to hear. Well, in the middle of the night, it was the first night, and a man came to my bed. And I looked up, and he was a very nice-looking young man, and he had a white coat on and a stethoscope, and he looked so important. And I thought he must be a doctor. And he said, I want to talk to you about this stroke you had. Okay. He said, now, you're mind thinks your body is dead. It doesn't know that you can move that arm at all. You're dead on that side, according to your mind. You've got to talk to your mind and say, hand, move. I thought, well, okay, if that's all it takes, hand, move, you know. But it didn't move. And he said, you got to talk to her. I said, how you do it? He said, well, you take this hand and you say, you're going to work. You're going to work. Lift that hand up and you're going to work. I thought, okay. And he kept talking to me. And I thought, wow, this guy's pretty smart. And so he said, now, when the time comes, I want you to, your mind to tell that leg to move. So the guy, he left. I thought, well, that's all there to, well, you know what? I know sign language. I could do it. Okay, let's see, A, B, C, but this hand wouldn't do it. And I kept, well, he said to tell you to move. And finally, it was about 3 or 4 in the morning, I couldn't sleep. And I got A, B, C. Wow. A, B, C. D. I started in. I couldn't do I couldn't do R, but I was working on it. Just kept working. I stayed awake all night. Pretty soon I had both hands going. Then I thought, oh, he said to raise it. Okay, we'll get that arm up. Ah! Guess what? By morning, when the nurse came in, so the nurse said, well, what happened to you? I said, well, I can do this. She said, wow, what happened? I said, well, there was this doctor who came in last night, and he stood at the foot of the bed, and he told me what all to do to get my mobility back. Well, she said, what was his name? I said, well, I don't know. I didn't ask him. And she said, what did he say? And I told her, and she said, well, he told you the truth. And then I kept saying, well, I got my hand going now. I got to start working on everything else. And believe it or not, I couldn't talk. Couldn't talk very good. I was saying S's like sure. I want to show. I couldn't get those S's out. So I thought, mind, which is God. He's in control of the mind. And he controls the rest of our body, I found out too. And by the time I left, 26 days later, the hospital, I walked with a cane, and I walked out of the hospital. I had some more therapy. I'm walking every day now. I don't have to do the walker thing. And God has blessed me. This has been a wonderful year. And I'm thanking the Lord for that. So when you think you don't have wisdom, sometimes you have it and you don't know it. Sometimes it's God speaks to you in your mind and gives you wisdom to solve a certain particular situation. You don't know you have wisdom, but you think, well, I'll do it this way or I'll do it that way. But God gives us all wisdom, I think. In every situation that you have, I believe if you ask God for wisdom, he will lead and guide you. And God is an important part of your life. If you hit him first, he'll take care of you.
So I'm really nervous right now, but I'm going to try to get through this. So I've been asked to speak about a mother's wisdom and kindness and how that can impact a family. So this is our story. My mom, Christy, became a part of my life when I was 4 years old. When I was 5, she became my stepmom. Back then, I lived with my biological mother, but even then, Christy was my mom. She was always there, was kind, and was a big example in my life. In 2010, my mom and dad moved to St. Louis because my dad was sent here on recruiting duty with the Marine Corps. We were attending a Baptist church, and in the summer of 2012, my mom came across an old friend of hers who was completely different from what she remembered. My mom was curious to what had happened to him and asked him just that. He replied, "The Holy Ghost." My mom didn't really know what that meant because she had never been taught about the infilling of the Spirit. She was never taught that you need to be baptized in Jesus' name or the oneness of God. He then boldly told her that she needed to be baptized in Jesus' name and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So my mom started praying that God would open up her heart and mind up to him. She wanted to know God for who he really was, not for what she wanted him to be. She also prayed that God would help her to understand the Bible, and he did. Every day she would read when she came home. She started to want God more and more to be around others who also had the same desire for God. She searched online for Apostolic Pentecostal churches, and the first thing that popped up was APC, and it was only 7 minutes from our old house. The first service they went to was something they had never experienced before. There was dancing and people laying hands on each other, and there was tongues interpretation. The message preached that morning was about the Holy Ghost. The funny thing is, though, is that was exactly what she had been questioning. Even though the worship was different than what they were used to, they knew that this church had the truth and the love of the Lord. The next week, they went back to their old church and felt a huge difference. 2 weeks after attending this church for the first time, they came back and decided to be baptized in the name of Jesus. They both received the Holy Ghost a few months afterward, and since then, we have been attending this church. In June 2013, while my sister and I were with them for our summer break, we started to attend APC. I remember my first service being all praise service, where we had never got to the preaching. There were people running the aisles and dancing. People were speaking in tongues, and I'll be completely honest, I thought you were all crazy. But we kept coming, and by the end of the summer, my dad was awarded full custody of me and my sister, and so we were able to come to this church all the time. I was also baptized in the name of Jesus, and in 2014, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Jalen was then baptized and received the gift of the Holy Ghost 2 years later. Since then, I have been completely changed. Every night, we all read the Bible, and we attend church every service we could. During this time, I still had visitation with my biological mom. Then there was an incident in the winter of 2016, and I was not allowed to see her or have contact with her. We had been going to court and had to get an order of protection. Through it all, though, my mom was faithful to the church, and we kept going to my parents and pastor talked about it, and we prayed. During this time, I really learned how to pray and fast. My mom would get on her knees and pray and would fast over the situation. We were in great need of God, and he did not disappoint us. He was there the whole time. The Bible says he will never leave us nor forsake us. God has kept his promise. Some days I would come home from school and just cry, and my mom would be there, and she would quote scripture to me and would help me through the time. She helped me, and I am so thankful God put her in my life. She has taught me to be faithful to God. She has taught me the importance of prayer and fasting and the importance of reading the Bible. She has taught me to always put God first no matter what, that I should be myself, slow to speak, be kind to everyone, it doesn't matter what their background, and that I should not only know the word, but that I need to be the walking Bible, because that may be the only exposure some people get. Also, my mom is a really good cook, and she has taught me how to cook. If my mom had not been hungry for God and searched for him, there is no telling where I would be. Since coming to this church, my walk with God has changed tremendously. Even within the last year, my walk with God has changed. I've been closer to God than I could ever imagine, and hopefully one day I'll be even closer. If my mom wouldn't have found this church, I might not have been able to start a P7 Bible study at my school and reach out to people I do through it. I might not have known the importance of reading God's word or the power of prayer and fasting. On July 5th, 2017, adoption papers were signed and Christy was announced my official legal mother. She's the greatest mother I could ever ask for. She has taught me so many things about God and life in general. She will sacrifice just about anything so that I could attend church events. Even though she may not be my birth mother, she has always been and will always be my mother, and I'm thankful God placed her in my life.
Wow, what a marvelous testimony of transformation. And I think we who are members here at APC can agree it is awesome to have the Lindsay family a part of this APC family. God gets all the glory. We're thankful. Marvelous transformation in their lives, God bringing them to us. And then, of course, from Sister Black's speech, I was thinking she's been a part of this church my entire life. I won't name how many years that is, but has had a great influence on me. She was once my youth choir director. Believe that. They actually let me in the youth choir, Sister Christy. So I keep trying, but she keeps denying my application. But I was glad when Sister Black said she went to the notebook for her notes, because I went to the yellow legal pad. So we'll see what we can do here. But I do want to take just a quick moment, and Sister Kay Hamby so graciously noted that our pastor's not here. And you know what? You ought to be careful with things you say. It can come back to get you. If you don't believe that, just ask our student pastor. When you talk about our pastor, you can be in great trouble. So no, I'm teasing. But I did want to note, and in fact, on behalf of Brother and Sister Williford, who are not here, they are in North Carolina. For those that may not know, that's where Sister Williford's from, and she's able to spend Mother's Day with her mom. And, of course, Lisa is with her mom, and Amber and Andrea have a lot of work to do when she gets back, because she's spoiling your mom out there. But on their behalf, we want to welcome all of our guests that are with us at Mother's Day service, APC. Thank you for spending your special day, or at least part of it, with us. And I do know I speak for Brother Williford in that regard. We're so thankful that you're here. And for the church family, he will be back for our Wednesday night service, midweek service. We're going to continue those split sessions, so we look forward to having them back home. Thursday, my wife went to a ladies' conference up in Wisconsin. She was invited to be a part of it for her role in the Reflections magazine. And because it's an 8-9 hour drive, she asked me to go along with her. And so I agreed to go to the Wisconsin Ladies District Conference. Now, I did not attend any of the services, but I was there. In fact, when we walked in Thursday evening before it started, I was overwhelmed in the hotel lobby. There were women everywhere, and it was a little intimidating. There was a spirit in the air, and I'm sure it was largely the Holy Spirit, no doubt about that, but I think there was a little bit of estrogen mixed in. Did I just say that? I'm sorry. Brother Alex, the spirit of your Pastor Norm Pasley is upon me here. You'll have to forgive me. But it was overwhelming. But I found out, are you ready for this, that the speaker for the ladies' conference was a man, Raymond Woodward, who has preached here. You may remember a few years ago on a January Sunday, he preached our services. And he was the main speaker, spoke three times to these ladies. And I thought, in regard to that, on a much, much smaller scale, I can relate a little bit to how he must have felt, because if you've noticed, I'm the only guy on this program today for Mother's Day. I'm not quite sure how that ended up to be the case, but I'm really thankful for the opportunity to give honor to all of our moms who are here today. We appreciate, again, you spending part of your special day with us. And if you would indulge me, I wasn't asked to do this, but I want to. And I want us to stand together just for a moment. And I realize that not all of you have your mom still with you. And I think it would be very fitting if we would just, while you're standing, take a moment to bow our heads in silence in honor of moms who are not with us on this particular day. Would you do that just for a few moments? Thank you very much, and you may be seated. If I may just add to those of you that don't have your mom with you, in my simple way of thinking, I believe it would be really good if you would spend some time today just telling stories and going down memory lane about your mom. I know there are probably funny ones and more serious ones, but just taking some time to talk about mom and stories that involved her, I know will keep her memory alive for you and help make this day even more special for you. I personally am blessed to have a wise and insightful mother. In fact, I'm very thankful she's here today. Sitting there you are, Sister Black. I couldn't find you. In the words of the King James, she'll be fourscore and 15 years old. She'll be 95 this July. And so I'm very thankful that I have her. And she is, again, a very wise and insightful woman, especially in the spiritual realm. And her children and grandchildren have grown up, and I have one brother for those that don't know. We grew up hearing a lot of little sayings from my mom, and a few of them are, one is, too soon we get old and too late smart. And she usually quoted that in a German accent because that's her heritage, just telling us there's not enough time to learn everything. And then I really like this one that she would say once in a while, so the day won't be a total loss, let's eat. And if you know the Reavers, we are eating one meal and planning the next. It's pretty pathetic. In fact, my mom, we were on vacation one year going somewhere, and we pulled in a fast food place and ate, and it was my turn to drive. We were still in the parking lot, as I recall, and I heard her rustling around the bag of snacks that she always packed with her. We'd just eaten, and she was already into something else. My daughter mentioned this, that when her first child was a baby, that any time the baby would cry, it didn't matter why, the reply of my mom was, stick a bottle in his mouth. And I thought about that, and that probably explains why in all of my baby pictures, I was enormous. It must be what she did every time I cried, stick a bottle in his mouth. But, and then I love this one. I remember hearing growing up, being in the back seat of the car, and somebody would, cut us off or get a little too close while we're driving. She said, give him the horn, Clement. So I apologize to all of you that may have had the horn honked at you by my father. Although in truth, I think he really just kind of grinned at her and didn't do it. So, and then I remember this one too. Probably a lot of you have heard this over the years. You're known by the company you keep. And I mentioned that to my brother, and he said he didn't really remember that one. I said, well, it's probably because you didn't need to hear it, and I did. But this is one that he remembers. That is that we should always be teachable. In other words, never reach a place in your life where you think you've learned it all, but always have an open spirit and an open mind when it comes to learning about relationships and the various aspects of life. And I have wonderful recollections from early childhood, of course, being brought to church, gospel singings, general conferences, camp meetings. I remember in our home, we would host ministers. This was early on, and sound like old-time Pentecost, doesn't it? But we would often have members, families in the church would host ministers that came by to visit. It was that or Brother Branding was too cheap to pay for a hotel. I don't know which, but I remember hosting ministers in our home, and my mom, of course, teaching Sunday school. I'd leave my class and run down to her. She taught the 14, 15-year-old boys' class, and I remember sticking my head in the door, and she'd still be teaching, but I just made my way in there anyway. And just a lot of tremendous memories in the church. And I was born again at age 10, and in my teen years, made some wrong decisions, and I really did. I'm not blaming anyone, but ended up hanging around some people that weren't the best for me, spiritually speaking. And I remember one day coming into my bedroom. I should have brought the Bible. I still have it. But my Bible was open, and my mom had underlined a verse in Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 16. And I think we have it here for you. And it says from the King James, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a fool rageth and is confident." And it was just her way of communicating to me the importance of looking ahead and considering my actions and my decisions about right and wrong. And obviously the things that were wrong were the things to flee. And because of her tenacity and intercessory prayer and just outright refusal to give up on me, my life got turned around, and I'm ever grateful to her. A little later, she wrote a letter to my brother and me. This was in April of 1985. We were both young adults and in the ministry. God had called us into the ministry. And I just want to share a few excerpts in closing my remarks today. This was to Nathan and David. "For some time I have felt I should write you a letter and failed to do so, but after last night's service at 13th and Gravois, I once again felt inspired and therefore will attempt to fulfill that long-standing prompting of the Spirit. Your dad and I have not provided for you the most beautiful home in the world. You've not always ridden in new cars, and neither have you had everything you wanted or desired in this life. But we do feel we have given you something that the world cannot give you, neither can take away. I speak of the training and direction we have given you for your life, the straight and narrow path which leads to glory. Always stay in the confines of the Word of God. God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Men change, but remember that God nor His Word will ever change. Hold on to the truths that you have been taught wherever God's will may lead you." And I'm thankful that for my brother and me, we were trained up in a way that a child should go. And I realize today that only Jesus Christ can save us from sin, because He's the one that went to the cross and shed His blood for it. But if I could say it this way, as much as is humanly possible, my mom saved me. My mom saved me. And of course, in all these remarks, my father is included, but this is Mother's Day. And I just want to say, because of her constant concern, unrelenting prayer, and certainly her wise counsel, thanks to her and God's far-reaching grace, I'm in the church today. And I am very, very thankful.
Thank you, Pastor Reaver. We love the Reavers, don't we? Precious, precious people. We're inviting our Mother's Day choir to come and sing. We were planning the service and thinking about different things and that we'd like to have. I couldn't help but think about all of our mothers that live a life every day glorifying God. And it's not always just with their words. They have words of wisdom. But many times it's just their everyday living. And a song that came to my mind, it's an all-time favorite, and that is "God Is." God is my all in all. And He is. He's my day today. He's in my day. He's there tomorrow before we get there. He's in our yesterday. He's our all in all. And we've experienced that whether, and if you look at these mothers, they're all ages. And so they can, this is a song, is really a ministry. They're living that life. I thought, I sung this song when I was just a young mother and I had babies. Now I'm an empty nester. Our babies are grown. But one thing remains the same with all mothers is that we need Jesus every day. We have no idea what tomorrow will bring and what we will face. But we know who holds tomorrow. We know that He's our protector. He's our provider. He's our joy. He's our comforter. He is everything that we long for and everything that we need. And mamas, as long as we have Jesus, we can make it. Worship with us as we sing.